When we look at energy, we say, is the energy of my mind different than the energy of my body? We might say the energy of the body is more physical and the energy of mind is more effervescent. It's less physical. So take, for example, ice, water, and steam. You know, steam feels very different than ice, but at its source, it's still H2O. So ice and steam are the same, have the same source energy, but they manifest in very different states. So the Qigong masters would say, this is true for your body as well. Your body is just a more dense version of your energy. Your mind is just a much more ethereal version of your life force energy. And this is why your thoughts have such impact on your body. And your body has such impact on your emotions. Like if you don't sit in the right posture, or if you're not breathing in a proper way, you're gonna be feeling down or depressed. If you look at somebody who's depressed, their chest sinks, they breathe shallow, their chin is down, it has a particular posture to it. So in Qigong we say, your body is like a tree and your energy is like the wind.
Hello my friends and welcome to Take a Deep Breath. My name is Mike Mayer. I'm a breathing coach and I also get to host this podcast, which is all about breathing and wellness and biohacking, and it getting to essentially interview the world's top experts all around the planet and bring you information about all this wonderful stuff. And today we have got Mr. Lee Holden on the podcast, who runs Holden Qigong, and he's a Qigong master. He's been teaching Qigong for over 25 years and has taught over 10,000 students. And we had such a good conversation. I've been trying to get Lee on the podcast for a number of months now and managed to pin him down and have a great conversation. And so we're talking today about, what is Qigong? Where does it come from? What are the benefits and test cases of why would you want to get started in Qigong? Why is it the missing part of what most of us are doing, what we call breath work, which is the movement and the breath? Can we really move energy around the body? And there's so many other things we're going to talk about as well. So I can't wait for you to meet Lee and get stuck in. But I have one favor to ask, one very quick favor. You see that beautiful subscribe button that tons of engineers spent time designing and making look pretty? Well, if you could just tickle it with your finger or with your mouse, and if you could follow us, subscribe with us, and if you're listening to this, if you could leave us a review, that would mean the world to me, and it means that I can go out there and get even more guests to bring you even more information. We have a very big podcast coming up shortly as well, and we're almost at 100. The 100th podcast is a biggie with a huge guest, and we're just putting it all together now. I can't wait for you to share this with you. We're building it behind the scenes. It's going to blow our minds. It's a huge, huge podcast. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss that. Anyway, let's get stuck on with Mr. Lee Holden. Thank you so much. Cheers. Mr. Lee Holden, welcome to Take a Deep Breath podcast. How are you doing today, sir?
Hey, doing excellent. Thank you. I've had to take a deep breath or two already today because I'm parenting, and as you know, I was running a little late to this podcast. So, you know, taking a deep breath is something that is a great tool for everyday life.
Yeah. It's one of those things. You know, I heard recently as well, not to get too sidetracked, the importance of taking a deep exhale as well. I just heard James Nestor talking about this.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, because we think of taking a deep breath as our inhale, but hey, it requires a yin and yang. It requires both. You gotta exhale if you want to inhale.
Yeah, for sure. I can't wait to get stuck in. I was just saying before we hit record, I first came across you about a year and a half ago, and that was my first introduction to Qigong, and it just blew my mind. And I realized that there was a missing piece to my breath work, which was movement. And for the last 6 years before that, I would just lay down or sit in a chair, and I always felt good. But after I used the movement, something just locked in. So I cannot wait to share and talk about this with you.
Yeah, and I think that is key, and I think that is next level breath work. You know, basically what I did over a breath work course, I put all of James Nestor's breath work practices that he went into in his book, and I put them to movement. And I just loved it. I felt like it added an extra piece, because when you're moving your body, you access a lot more of the breathing mechanics. You know, the rib cage opens, the chest muscles, the upper back, the diaphragmatic movement can all be accessed on a really deep level. So that was fun. That was a fun piece of work.
That's great. Oh, that's great. I'd love to check that out. That sounds wonderful.
Absolutely.
So can you just explain for people what is Qigong? What do the words mean, and a little overview of what it actually is?
You know, that's the hardest part of my practice, explaining what Qigong is, because it's weird. It's spelled Q-I-G-O-N-G. Q-I. This is a Chinese term for life force energy. You know, the ancient Chinese masters said there's a force within us that keeps us alive. And this force is mystical. It's mysterious. And to this day, we still can't explain what starts our heart beating. You know, what keeps the heart beating? You know, I heard a scientist that I interviewed, he explained it like this. He said, "It's your heartbeat is so weird. It's like a match that learned how to strike itself. And then when it burns down, it regrows and strikes itself again." Scientists can't figure it out. They're like, this heart is so mysterious and amazing. Well, your heart is mysterious and amazing, but there's lots of other things that cross over into the mystical. Your consciousness, your brain, our sensory awareness, our ears, how we turn sound, like people are listening right now. And sound is energy. It's a wave that hits our eardrums, turns into an electrical impulse, and then somehow our brain interprets that as information. So there's all kinds of mystical things happening in our body. And those mystical, mysterious things are what we call qi, life force energy. There's an aliveness. There's an electricity to our cellular structure. Now, this electricity is very different than the electricity in the wall socket, because we can't pump electricity through a dead body and bring it back to life, right? It's a different kind of electricity. It's bioelectricity. It's an electricity that creates your biology, and the ancient Chinese called that qi. And there's many different kinds of qi. For example, the qi of the lungs was called zong qi. That was the breath, and that is part of your aliveness. So you have breath qi, you have heart qi, you have the qi of nature, you have the qi between two people. So all of this contributed to your overall qi or life force energy. So in the ancient Chinese medicine classic, it was called the Yellow Emperor's Classic of Chinese Medicine. It was written about 4,000 years ago. They describe over 300 different kinds of qi. Like I was explaining, breath is one, food is another, and how they combine creates more kinds of qi, like breath and blood. When they combine, they create a different kind of qi. Breath and food, when they combine, they create a different energy. So all of these things contribute to your overall life force energy. Now, the medicine was very interesting because they would look at how is your qi circulating in your body. They might look at somebody and say, wow, you're not breathing properly. You're breathing in and out through your mouth all day, and this is going to cause problems. That's why you have digestive problems. That's why you have low energy and fatigue. So they might adjust the qi of the lungs or the qi of the heart or the qi of the liver to create an overall effect in the body. Now, gong, qigong, gong means work. So it's basically called energy work. And breath work would be considered a form of qigong because it's working with the breath, and it's a skill at working with qi. So in the word gong, there is a connotation of skillfulness or expertise. So we become better and better at working with life's energy. And really this life force energy, we could think of it really in three categories: your body, the energy of your body, the energy of your emotions, and the energy of your consciousness. Those three things were called the three treasures. And the Chinese medicine expert said, how are you working with each of those three things? Are you emotionally balanced? Are you mentally clear? Are you physically full of life force energy? And if we look at modern life, we can say, you know what? People aren't working with their energy in very skillful ways. Because when you are, you're leading a healthy, a happy, and a fulfilling life. And modern life is really kind of putting a cramp in the goal of that. And, you know, most people want those things. We say, hey, I want to be healthy. I want to be happy. I want to be fulfilled. Will this smartphone do all those things for me? And, you know, advertisers are saying, yes, if you just get the latest version, you're going to get that. And it's not quite true. So we need to often, for me, I say, let's look at the ancient masters and see what they had to say about leading our best lives.
I love that. Yeah, this whole cell phone thing is the more and more I hear about it, the more I experience it. We've got a little baby now, and we're trying our best for him not to see us use the phone. And on those small occasions I am on my phone, he just stops and stares, and it's just this whole thing. So I'm really, not good.
Oh, yeah, and I have teenagers. I have three teenagers and a three-year-old, and, it's something we contend with pretty much on a daily basis. You know, if they're on their phone for an hour, I'm like, oh, let's get outside for an hour, guys.
Yeah.
Let's try to stay balanced, because, you know, there's no avoiding it, but there is tools and techniques that we can do to stay more balanced and more harmonious.
Is that would you say that that's a big component of Qigong, is balance?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's absolutely. So, you know, one of the other symbols of Qigong is yin and yang. And this is a classic symbol that people know about, the little black fish with the white eye chasing the tail of the white fish with the black eye. You know, it's yin and yang. It's night and day. It's male, female. It's inside and outside. It's ups and downs. It's all the opposites, the polarities. But that's what makes life worth living, and that's what makes life happen. You know, that's the symbol of qi. It's this yin and yang. The negative and the positive create a charge, and that creates qi. And the true symbol of yin and yang is a spiral. And if you look at the way nature moves, it's always moving in spirals, whether it's a tree branch or a seashell, a wave in the ocean to your DNA. Everything's moving in a spiral. And that is life force energy represented by yin and yang.
Oh, I love that. Could you just give us a very high-level overview of what the difference is between qi gong and tai chi? Because that seems to be something that confuses a lot of people that I know, at least. Hey, I want to just pause the podcast for a second and ask you a couple of questions. Are you looking to deepen your own breathwork practice? Are you maybe looking at ways that you can take breathwork and help other people? Are you looking just to connect with other people that are like-minded? If the answer is yes to one or more of those things, then why not come and join me on the Take a Deeper Breath community? Yes, we have finally done it. We built a home for breathwork. It's currently $68 a month. It's going to be $99 soon, so there's a 30% discount on this. Cancel anytime, not that you're going to want to. Come in and join us. We've got a really vibrant community of beautiful people. There's over 120 people in there so far. We've got breathwork instructors and yogis, and we've got people just looking to learn breathing and everything in between. There's a beautiful forum where we can ask questions and share things. And each month we have a challenge. As of recording this right now, it's Breath Mechanics Month. And so we are using all of the knowledge that I've learned from all these different podcasts. And every Sunday we breathe live together. We've got a back catalogue of masterclasses from wonderful experts. We're also measuring our mechanics with tape measures and loads of other different things. And you can get started at any point because it's all recorded. So why not come and give us a try in the Take a Deeper Breath community? I'm in there. Some of my friends are in there. It's so much fun. And it's a place that I was looking for many years and couldn't find anywhere. And so I've built it myself on this platform called School. Very clean, very modern. There's no social media. There's no Facebook. There's none of those accounts. There's no ads being put at you. You're in there. These podcasts go in there early. I've got my breathing course in there, which is on sale right now on my website for $500. You get that straight away as soon as you pay $68, and there's no contract. So why not come and join me in the Take a Deep Breath community? Let's do some breath work together. We hang out once a month. There's a teacher training portal in there as well. Anyway, there's loads of stuff going on. You can do as much or as little as you want, and I would love to consider you coming into that community and having a chat with us, and let's get to know each other a bit better. Okay, back on with Mr. Lee Holden. Cheers.
You know, that's a great question. You know, people get confused about this because Tai Chi is oftentimes more popular than Qigong. People have heard of Tai Chi. You think of, you know, people in the parks early in the morning practicing these slow, graceful movements. And Tai Chi really is a form of Qigong. It's a martial arts form of Qigong. And every movement in Tai Chi has martial application. The main difference is that Qigong is easier. It's more accessible. You can do one Qigong movement and repeat it over and over again, where in Tai Chi, one movement flows into another. Now, there's really three different kinds of Qigong. Martial, which would be considered a Tai Chi set. Medical practices. I'm going to do Qigong for my asthma. I'm going to do Qigong for high blood pressure. I'm going to do Qigong for a headache. That's a medical style of Qigong. And then you have spiritual style of Qigong, which is I'm going to use my Qigong practice to connect to the divine, to connect to my higher purpose, to my soul's work. So these three different ways of working with energy can be seen very practically. You know, am I going to work with Qi as a way to develop martial arts practices? That's what the Tai Chi masters did. The same principles apply. Slow movement, working with relaxation, and a focus on internal energy or power. Now, the Tai Chi masters became very famous in China because the Chen family, who originated the Tai Chi form, became very, very skilled at working with martial arts movements. And the Tai Chi form mirrored the movements of water. So you've heard Bruce Lee say, be like water, my friend. This comes from the Tai Chi and the Tao and Qigong principles. Move your body like water because it's very soft and relaxing. But if you stand and try to spar or fight with a wave, you're going to lose. And that, let me tell you, is what it's like to spar with a Tai Chi master. They just feel like you do something to them and they just feel like it feels like they just hit you with a big wave and you just go tumbling. It's very powerful. So back some 800 years ago, these Tai Chi masters, they would spar with other martial arts schools, and they became very famous because they were so skilled and powerful. So the Imperial Guard at the time said, we want to learn. I want you to train our soldiers Tai Chi. And they did. They showed them the movements, but they left out the internal energy work, which was the Qigong part. So it's very fascinating, this history, because Qigong goes back some 4,000 or 5,000 years in its recorded history. Probably before that, it was sort of a shamanistic practice where these shamans would invoke energy through movement and breath work to access a particular state of consciousness. Now, what they decided, they said, you know what? This should be not just for the shamans or the holy men and women. This should be for everybody. So instead of deities, let's say, invoking the spirit of the sun, they were saying, let's invoke energy and the energy of nature. And they made it very accessible for everybody to connect to their own internal power.
I love that. That's so cool. It's such a fascinating story because it's so old as well. You know, I often say there's nothing new in breath work, and it just, you know, I love it that there's all these old traditions. I've just come back from Denver, where I did a teacher training on something called Vivation. Have you ever come across this breath modality?
No, it sounds great though.
It sounds a bit 90s, but it's it was a guy that went off with the rebirthing crowd in the 80s to India. Right. And, you know, they all came back and they all started these. And this version of it, it's a body-led breath work. So you don't hyperventilate to the point where you disappear. And you're constantly searching for the strongest feeling in the body, and then you're breathing through it. And so I just wondered, when it comes to Qigong, is there anything, is it body-led? Is it mind-led? What are you doing with your mind? What's going on in the Qigong space?
That is such a great question. And the answer is a little bit more complex, because when we look at energy, when we say, is the energy of my mind different than the energy of my body? And to a Qigong master, we might say the energy of the body is more physical and the energy of mind is more effervescent. It's less physical. So take, for example, ice, water, and steam. You know, steam feels very different than ice, but at its source, it's still H2O. So ice and steam are the same, have the same source energy, but they manifest in very different states. So the Qigong masters would say, this is true for your body as well. Your body is just a more dense version of your energy. Your mind is just a much more ethereal version of your life force energy. And this is why, Mike, I find this so fascinating, because your thoughts have such impact on your body, and your body has such impact on your emotions. Like, if you don't sit in the right posture, or if you're not breathing in a proper way, you're going to be feeling down or depressed. If you look at somebody who's depressed, their chest sinks, they breathe shallow, their chin is down, it has a particular posture to it. So in Qigong, we say your body is like a tree and your energy is like the wind. Does the tree move? No, the wind moves the tree. So our energy is going to move our body into different shapes. Even our facial expression, for example, if somebody is sad, their face is down. When they're excited, their face changes. What's moving the body is the emotion, the energy. So what we can see is that energy just is manifesting in different forms. And we want energy to constantly flow and circulate and not be stagnant. So let's use the analogy of water. When water gets stagnant, it becomes unhealthy. So somebody might come to a Qigong master or Chinese medicine doctor and say, I got a headache. They're looking, okay, where is the qi stagnant? Is it tight neck and shoulders? Is it emotional stagnation? You're just under too much stress. And this is going to cause a problem in your physical body. And when we research it in the West, we've researched the cause of physical illness, and the root cause of about 90% of our illnesses is emotional stress. And I find this really fascinating. So they say 89% of primary doctor visits are stress-related. So whether it's a headache, digestive issues, pain, back pain, neck pain, they can all trace it back to some form of emotional stress that's causing it, was the original cause of that. So Chinese medicine and in Qigong practice, we always look for the root cause of a problem. Where's the qi blocked? How do we unblock it and get it to circulate? And once it's circulating, is the qi deficient? We just feel low energy? Or is the qi in excess? There's too much energy, let's say, in the head. That's like lots of thinking and not enough energy in the body, which might be fatigue. So when we look at these things between mind, body, and emotions, we're going to see the connection between them, not the separation, which is really interesting because in the West, if somebody goes, man, I'm emotionally stressed out, you're like, go see a psychologist. And somebody says, I have neck pain, you know, go see the chiropractor. If you got digestive issues, go see the doctor. Nobody's talking and nobody can really decipher or figure out what is the root cause. So we're constantly just treating symptoms. And if we address the body and get the body to move and energy to circulate, sometimes the cascade of side effects are one positive thing after another. That's why when people do Qigong practice, somebody might come in and say, oh, man, I have insomnia, I can't sleep. And I give them relaxing Qigong exercises in the evening, and they come back and they go, yeah, I'm sleeping better, but my neck pain's gone and my digestion issues have cleared up. Because we've addressed the root cause, the problems associated with it go away.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. So you've kind of excited something to me. So I've got quite tight shoulders and neck pain. I'm holding like a 12 kilogram baby a lot at night anyway.
Oh my
which
gosh,
hasn't
yes.
helped either. Can you give any tips on what people with neck and shoulder pain could do when it comes to Qigong?
Absolutely. And you know, breathing from the diaphragm is very helpful for bringing the energy back to the center and relaxing the upper back, neck and shoulders. But you know, we as a species chronically hold our stress in our upper back, neck and shoulders. For some reason, when life gets stressful out there, we think in ourselves, hey, if I just squeeze my neck and shoulder muscles, I'm going to be more in control of what's going on in the external environment. You know, I saw this, Mike, when I was flying. I was on a plane, and this woman was very nervous during takeoff, and I could tell that she was starting to like squeeze her jaw muscles and tighten her neck and shoulders as we were taxiing down the runway. And then she did something really interesting. She grabbed a hold of her seatbelt and pulled up as hard as she could, like kind of like a power lifter. And I was like, oh my God, she is thinking that she is helping the plane take off. And she was just lifting as hard as she could. And I was like, oh my gosh, this lady is thinking she's going to help the plane take off. And then I was like, you know what? We all do that at various times. You know, we talk to our boss. We think about, oh my gosh, my 401k, my retirement. And we just start tightening up our neck and shoulders as if it's going to really help the plane take off, as if it's going to help that circumstance, but it really doesn't. So in Qigong practice, they say, how can we meet life with relaxation rather than tension? So we just say, notice and be aware, like under stressful times, notice that you're going to start to tighten up certain muscles and then just tell those muscles to relax. That's one thing. So we kind of address it as it comes up. The other is now let's stretch it out. So there's a movement in Qigong that's called spreading the feathers. And I love this one because you could do it right at your desk. And you're just basically going to take your hands and press down to your sides like that. And your palms press down. Now, guys, don't do this if you're driving. But you press your shoulders down and away, your palms press down towards the floor, and you spread your fingers. And now lean the head over to one side. And you're going to feel what we call in Chinese medicine a line of tension. And then just slowly roll the head back and forth across the shoulder. Keep the head over to one side. Roll the head back and forth. And you'll feel the muscles in the front of the neck, the middle of the neck, and the back of the neck. It's basically upper back and neck, all the way down through the shoulder. And you might even feel a stretch right through the forearm to the fingers. Now, while you're stretching, take a couple of deep breaths and do the other side. So ear to the shoulder, press the palm down and away so the fingers spread. And then ear to the shoulder and roll the head back and forth. And you stretch what we call lines of tension right through the trapezius muscle. Take a nice deep breath. And then when you bring your hands down to your side, see if you can feel the hands and fingertips a little more tingling or lit up with energy.
Oh, Lee, that was lovely. I really needed that. I was like, oh.
Yeah, you and me both, Mike.
Yeah. Thank you. I had a look at your YouTube channel, which people should absolutely check out. I'm going to link to it down below because it's some wonderful resource. I picked up some tinnitus and I've lost a little bit of hearing from doing some free diving. So, and I noticed you had some stuff on there about hearing and Qigong. So could you just explain a bit more about what that is and what we might be able to do? Is it like a tapping process or something else?
Yeah, great. And, you know, what I love to do is just give people exercises that they can use to try to solve their ailments. So whether it's like eyesight, whether it's hearing, whether it's neck pain, whether it's high blood pressure, there are great Qigong practices, exercises, breathing techniques, visualizations, acupressure points to be able to clear those symptoms up. So for the ears, for hearing, for tinnitus, or just like loss of hearing, we can use acupressure points. One really good one is right behind the earlobe. If you put your first finger right behind the earlobe, you'll feel like an indentation between the back of the ear and the jaw.
Yep.
That is an acupressure point, and it's great for just opening up the energy to the ears. So do it to both sides. Put the finger there and then just circle a little bit. Press in and circle. It should be a little bit tender, so press enough so you can feel it, but not so much that it's really painful. And circle. If you find like one angle a little bit more tender than the other, look for the tenderness, hold it, and then take a deep breath. And see where it radiates. Does it go into your jaw? Does it go up into your ear? And that's one way to use acupressure as a way to open up energy to particular areas of the body. And acupressure was part of Chinese medicine, like Qigong. We use different things to be able to open up the flow of energy in the body. In fact, Mike, there was five branches to Chinese medicine. Did you know that? Five branches to Chinese medicine. Let me tell people what the five branches are. You got acupressure, acupuncture. You have massage therapy. That's usually people's favorite branch. Massage therapy. You have nutrition, like what we eat. You have herbs, herbal medicine. And then you have Qigong. So those five branches, those five practices are how people stayed healthy. Those were the practices of healthcare. You know, and a lot of our modern medicine, you know, comes from those practices, especially herbal medicine. Pharmaceutical industry has taken a lot of things from herbal medicine and just made it more chemistry. But herbs were, you know, these masters would go out to nature, find herbs, combine them into formulas. And over thousands of years, you could take, you know, a few different herbs and that would help an ailment. You know, let's say ginger and turmeric would be good for your digestion or warming the energy of the body or lowering, let's say, inflammation. Ginseng would boost people's energy, things like that. Well, the way in which people practice this medicine was really interesting. And I think there's probably a lot of practicality to it. But you would pay your healthcare practitioner, your Qigong master, your herbalist, your acupuncturist, almost like a monthly subscription. You would pay them some monthly stipend until you got sick. If you got sick, if you had pain, if you had problems, then you would stop paying. So you're like, hey, I have a headache. I'm not paying you this month. You're not doing your job. And they would be, okay, let's do some acupressure. Let's get them some herbs. Let's show them some Qigong exercises. Let's get them back to health. And when they got back to health, you start paying again. Now, this is brilliant because what's everybody's motivation is to keep you healthy.
Yeah.
In our society, everybody's motivation is to get people sick because if there's no sickness, there's no money being made. So we have a very highly technologically advanced sick care practice. So we wait till we get sick, then we go to the doctor, and that's when people are making lots of money, whether it's pharmaceutical industry, medical industry, but nobody's looking out to keep you healthy, to keep you living your best life, checking in to see how your emotional stress is related to your physical body, all these things that are really, really connected, and making sure that the life force energy is running smoothly through you. We have to do that for ourselves. And that's where this practice really, really shines. It's a practice of vitality. It's a practice of living your best life, not just getting by, but how do we live life, you know, full on, fully charged, and really connected.
I love that. And I also got a little bit sad when you're telling that story, because I was like, oh, we've lost this incredible way of doing medical, you know, treatments. Have you come across anywhere in the world that still does it that way? Or as far as you're aware, have we all flipped and gone the other way?
I think, you know, it's pretty much flipped, I would say. I mean, there are communities in Asia that do it, and people are doing it. You know, that's why people are doing yoga and going to the gym and taking their supplements, because they're saying, you know what? We can't just rely on the medical industry to keep me healthy. We got to do something for ourselves. I mean, I think biohacking and breath work have so much to offer in terms of prevention, preventative medicine, and people are really asking for it because they're dismayed with the medical model. I mean, not only is there long waits and doctors are super stressed out, so you finally get to see your doctor and it's a 5-minute visit, and then you get on some pharmaceutical, you get on some pills that have side effects that might be worse than the original symptom. It's super frustrating. I mean, not to say that Western medicine doesn't have its place. It absolutely does. You know, if you get a serious infection, you have, you know, some kind of disease, you broke your arm, you were in a car accident, man, Western medicine, there's nothing better. You don't go see an acupuncturist when you broke your arm. You go see them later when you're trying to heal, make sure that it doesn't, you know, set in funny or there's not scar tissue. But so these medicines definitely have their place. And I think where we're going is to complementary medicine, where we do something that really works for our health. But it's more, you know, it's not just individuals trying it for themselves. It's like doctors prescribing certain breathing techniques for lowering blood pressure instead of just taking the immediate take a medication, where we're, you know, we can really do wonders with lifestyle changes and particular exercises. And really, you can do wonders with breath work. I mean, people are not breathing properly, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I have digestive issues. Sometimes you change their breathing, their diaphragm starts to free up, and all of a sudden the digestive problems go away. It's amazing. So I always tell people, try the most natural approach first. Put some energy into it, and then see where you're at from there.
Yeah, I love that. My favorite breathing technique is coherence breathing, which is like a 5.5 in, 5.5 out. Nestor calls it the perfect breath in his book Breath. Seems to have shown up throughout history. There's something in Islam, there's something in the Lord's Prayer, there's something, it's making the brain a bit like a monk's brain with a meditating for 20 years. Is there a version of that in Qigong, and what's it called, or is all Qigong like, because it's a balanced breath, this coherence breath, it's an equal inhale, equal exhale, no pauses. So is there a version of that, and what would that be?
Yeah, that's great. And yes, they don't call it, let's say, the 5.5 breaths, but what you notice in Qigong, and what you'll notice if you take a 5.5 second inhale and exhale, it seems a lot slower. So what we're going to do is synchronize breath with movement. And what we find in the rhythm of Qigong is about that. So let's say you're going to float your arms up to about shoulder height and float your arms down. We call this, like, as they open the flow, or it's also called Tai Chi opening. We'll do it together if you want.
Yes, please. Yeah.
So if you're listening again, guys, don't do this while you're driving, but You could do it seated in a chair or standing. And when you inhale, you're just going to float your arms up about shoulder height. Your wrists are relaxed. And then you exhale, relax your elbows, relax your shoulders, and just float your arms back down to your sides. And you'll see this is about a 5 to 6 second inhale. And then about a 5 to 6 second exhale. And as you do that, as you put that slow breath to a movement, all of a sudden the breath, which is chi, will start to circulate through your meridians. You'll get more energy moving in your body. And so we go inhale nice and slow, about 5 or 6 seconds, and then exhale nice and slow, float the arms down about 5 or 6 seconds. And this is, you are doing Qigong when you're doing this. Slow, relaxed movement, synchronized with breath, and your qi starts to circulate. Do it one more time, guys. Inhale, float your arms up. And exhale, float your arms down. Now, when you bring your arms down to your sides, I want you to, again, notice how your hands feel. Are they tingling? Is there more buzzing? Is there a sense of electricity there? You feel that?
Yeah.
We call that a moving meditation because you're moving your body, you're slowing down your breath.
Yeah.
And as you move your body in a slow, rhythmic way, your mind really can't help but to slow down.
Yeah.
So again, we're seeing this synergy between body and mind. So let's say somebody's like, man, I just have so much on my mind. I'm worried about X, Y, or Z. I can't stop thinking. Don't try to wrestle your mind, your thoughts into being quiet. Do something with your body. Change your breathing and do some movement. And you'll see as you slow down your body and you slow down your breath, your mind will slow down and you'll be more present. And that is the magic because some people are like, hey, I want to meditate. They sit down and they just can't quiet their mind. Well, slow down your body, slow down your breath, and the mind will relax and become much more quieter.
Yeah, I felt very relaxed. My hands got very warm, not sweaty, but very warm just then. What would be causing that? Is that the qi?
That's qi. So a characteristic of qi is warmth because an alive body, what does it have? It has heat to it. It has a metabolic fire, and a dead body is cold. So heat is a sign of qi circulating. So as you do those slow movements, all of a sudden the hands get warm. You're like, I'm not running a marathon here. I'm doing something very relaxing, but the hands will get really buzzy or warm, and the whole system starts to relax into the state of inner peace.
I love it. So I want to just go to the other end of the breathing scale for a second with you, which is, you know, I'm sure everyone here has probably heard of Wim Hof and hyperventilation and conscious connected breath and all that jazz. And so it's kind of a two-part question. Where, if any, does the mouth show up in Qigong? And are there any faster breathing techniques or is it all slow nasal? Because I don't know the answer to that. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Breath is qi. And so when we want to move qi in different ways, we change the breathing. And we can play with polarity. So sometimes if you want to get to slow breathing, you first go fast. Like, for example, if you want to relax your muscles, one technique would be squeeze your muscles really tight. And then when you relax your muscles, they'll be more relaxed than before you started the squeeze. So we talked about yin and yang, and one of the characteristics is yin will turn into yang and yang will turn into yin. It's like the sunny side of a hill. As the sun moves, that sunny side of the hill becomes the shady side. And the shady side, which was once the shady side, becomes the sunny side. So this creates the transformation of change, the transformation of energy. So yes, there is quick breathing exercises, one called fanning the fire or bellows breathing, where you focus on and you do a lot of rapid breathing exercises. These would be considered more advanced breathing techniques. First, they want to get you the foundation of good, slow, relaxed breathing. And then you get fancier and fancier. I think people that start off doing fancier techniques, you can have some problems because your foundation isn't set yet. So there's a good way to stage the breath, first relaxing the system, because when you're doing hyperventilation techniques, you're putting your system under some stress, which is like lifting weights. It's good stress. You do it for short bursts, a short amount of time, and the theory is then you'll get stronger. Your respiratory system will get stronger because of it. But if somebody has an injury and you tell them to go lift some weights, especially if it's too heavy, it's going to exacerbate their injury. So in Chinese medicine, we're going to say, hey, what is the person? Who am I talking to? What would be the best exercise for that particular person? And it's not one exercise fits everybody. So for these more, let's say, advanced techniques, first learn how proper breathing techniques. First learn how to stretch your body out a little bit. First learn how to relax. Learn that 5.5 second breath. Practice some, maybe some box breathing or some vagal breathing to really calm the system. And then start to get into some of those more advanced techniques. First get in, you know, good breathing shape, and then work with more advanced techniques. And that's kind of what I love to see. And I love all the new research, especially that, the modern breath workers are starting to come up with, and the science behind it is just beautiful. I feel like this is just a great marriage between ancient wisdom and modern science. And it's really confirming what Qigong masters, yoga teachers, pranayama masters, meditation instructors have talked about for a long time, how important the breath is to everything in our life. Because when we look at qi, if we say life force energy, breath is really closely related to it. Meaning that, yes, food is qi. Food is life force energy. When we eat food, we get energy from it. But we can go days without food and you'll still have qi. You'll still have life. But you can only go, let's say, minutes without breath. So the way in which we breathe is so vitally important to our life and our life force energy. And people are so focused on food and nutrition and everything else when breath right here is free and the way in which you breathe shifts and changes your energy. And so if people take a slow, deep breath, it's going to change your energy of body, mind, emotions, and just calm things down. And that is preventative medicine. You've just done something to prevent problems from arising. Maybe it's just a little extra tension in your neck or a headache or something. But slow breathing can really make a wonderful difference. And now fast breathing, yes, can make a wonderful difference to boost your energy. But it's skillful, it's targeted, and it's done at the right time.
Love that. I say the same thing to my clients, actually. It's like, let's get your foundation really good, and then we can do some of the sexy breathing techniques later. But let's get, because I teach a lot of functional breathing, you know, diaphragmatic, getting the rib cage nice and flexible, CO2 tolerance, all that jazz, which actually leads me on to my next question. Where do breath holds fit in, if they fit in Qigong? Or would you see that as a lack of qi and a problem if people do long breath holds?
Right. And I think because of all this new research, you know, traditional Qigong practitioners say, don't hold the breath, like keep it circulating, keep it slow, let the qi flow. And I think that's a good foundational suggestion. But breath holds are really important. And my Qigong teachers, as you advance in practice, they start working with breath holds and breath holds with movements. Because what happens when you're holding your breath, the qi within you starts to wake up. And what I mean by that waking up of qi would be that there's an alertness that happens. Because as soon as you hold your breath, your mind starts to pay attention. What's going on? Our minds pay attention to something stressful. And so you hold your breath, all of a sudden you wake up to the present moment. Somebody holds your head underwater, all of a sudden you're not going to be thinking, oh, what am I going to have for dinner? You know, no, you're all of a sudden, What am I going to do? I'm here in the present moment. So the key to breath holds, hold your breath, but relax. So you hold a breath and then you try to get really, really relaxed within yourself. So I love this technique because you are training when life gets stressful, when I'm sitting in traffic and I'm late to a meeting, when I got that presentation to do. Instead of facing life with tension and tightness and worry, I'm going to relax into it. So I love this technique for its practicality too. I hold my breath, I exhale, I hold, and now soften your neck and shoulders. Really, really relax into yourself. And you've trained yourself to, when life gets stressful, relax as opposed to tighten up. Plus, there's also a myriad of other benefits to breath holding, which is, you know, the release of oxygen in your blood. Also, now more oxygen's available, which is such a good thing. And I found, when I first heard about this, I was like, that is so counterintuitive. Now I understand why the Qigong masters talk about super slow breathing or breath holds strategically, because it creates this release of qi, or a release of oxygen that is attached to the hemoglobin in the blood. So when CO2 goes up, all of a sudden the oxygen gets released from the blood. And I was like, wow, that makes sense. It all kind of came together for me as I was reading. That's the new science about breath work.
Yeah. What I've loved listening to you and talking to you today is you've got this ancient education, but it sounds like you're very much on, like, you're very open to, like, learning, not necessarily learning new techniques, but you're very open to what the science is teaching you. So you're not saying, no, we just keep going the way we've always gone. It sounds like you're very open to that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I love that. I love how science is starting to really confirm what the ancient wisdom masters have taught, whether it's around breath work, whether it's around stress, whether it's around life force energy.
Yeah.
It's, you know, truth is truth. And, you know, the ancient masters didn't have all this science to study. They couldn't look into the cells with high-powered microscopes. They had to look into their consciousness. And they explained things with the terms that they had, like qi, like lung qi. You know, they didn't understand oxygen and oxygen molecules and connecting to, you know, blood cells and how the heart pumped it through the body. They did. They just didn't have the same terms for it. They could arrive at these conclusions through a subjective experience, which was so fascinating how they could go inward, discover truth for themselves by looking at the mirror of their own consciousness. And where in the West, we went outward, we looked at it through objective means. And what's so cool is that they're coming together and they're converging, and we're really saying the same thing in different ways. And, you know, for me, truth is truth. And hey, let's do what works. And because gong, again, qigong, gong means work. Let's make life, our life, work for us, whether it's a scientific approach, a mystical tradition approach. It's not about, you know, this practice, qigong, and Eastern philosophy is not about what we believe in. It's about what is truthful, what works, what's functional. By observing life, we arrive at the truth. By observing ourselves, we arrive at the truth. And we can become our own best master. It's not just about following what everybody else says. In Qigong, they say, you are unique. Your energy is unique to you. There's nobody else like you. So what works for Mike might not work for Lee. And we might be at different stages in life. We have different physiologies. We've traveled different roads in life. We have to really discover ourselves and our unique special talents and gifts, and the way that we're going to excavate those special talents and those treasures within us is going to be different. And so, yes, learn from different teachers, learn from, you know, all these modern teachers with podcasts, audiobooks, books, you go into a Qigong class online, learn, but also really tune into yourself, because your energy is wise and resourceful beyond what you know. This is the wisdom of our Qigong masters.
I love that. I had this sneaking suspicion that after I spoke to you, I would want to become a Qigong instructor. And I'm like, from the first 5 minutes, I'm like, I need to look into this next year. So I might be knocking on your door, because I've played with Qigong a little bit. And we've got a mutual friend, Gray Causa, that if you remember him, he took your training. He's also an Oxygen Advantage. And so Gray's always going through Qigong with me, and it's been very relaxing. So I'm like, okay, so this has been really inspiring. I've got a couple of last quick questions for you.
Yes, Mike.
I recently had on Dr. Lawrence Blair. He did a documentary in the 70s called Ring of Fire.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And we spoke about John Chang. And so I wanted to get your thoughts on, can you start fire with your hands? I'm not asking if you can, but can people do that? Was it an illusion? Have you ever seen anything there? What the hell is going on? I'd just love to get your take on
that. What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Mike, I can't believe you're asking me this question, because that was a video that I saw in the 90s. I think They made that video in the late 80s. Mm-hmm. And in the Qigong communities in the 90s and early 2000s, it kind of went around and people were like, who's this guy John Chang and how do we find him? Well, you couldn't. You really couldn't find him, except a friend of mine, a really close friend and colleague, you know, back early days when I first started studying Qigong, I was hired by a Qigong master to ghostwrite his books. So I would go to Asia. I would sit down with the master. He would be teaching workshops. He taught in English. But to write his books, I would organize them. There was a whole team of us, and we'd organize his books into, you know, really easy to follow educational practices. There was another young man there, because I was in my early 20s. He was an Italian guy. His name was David Verdesi. And he was there, and the master at the time would say, David, I want you to go study with this master in China and see if he has any techniques. I want you to go study with that master in Tibet and learn his techniques. Bring him back. Well, one of those masters that David found was John Chang. And all of a sudden, David, he didn't come back to study. He didn't come back with information. He disappeared for like 4 years, and he was living with John Chang.
Wow.
And I finally, you know, some 4 or 5 years later, as I finally found David again. I said, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, okay, this is what I've been doing. And he found a bunch of masters that were able to do what John Chang was able to do. It's a certain kind of practice. And the really interesting thing that this lineage started off in India, moved through Tibet. That's why you can see these Tibetan masters, you know, when they go out into the freezing cold with a wet sheet, minus 20, and they do their breathing and they warm their bodies and dry the sheet. Similar practice of igniting inner fire. And this fire is a very, very, very powerful. And John Chang was a high, high level master. And he, if you see it, he crumples up newspaper, and with his hand, he sends energy, and the newspaper lights on fire, right? And I saw this from a variety of masters firsthand. So in the early 2000s, I wanted to follow David and learn from these masters, and I did. And there were some in China, there were some in India, there were some in Tibet, and John Chang was in Indonesia at the time. And I saw things that just absolutely blew my mind. In fact, what we did is we made a docuseries about it, not just about John Chang, because he wasn't available when we started our docuseries. But we found Chinese masters, Indian yogis, we found Russian KGB officers, we found some people in Australia. We just looked for the extraordinary. This docuseries is called The Superhuman Experience, and it's on Gaia, and it's also on our own website, The Superhuman Experience, superhumanexperience.io, and you could see all these incredible masters. And what was so fascinating to me was the question of what is our human potential? Not necessarily whether do we believe it, do we not believe it? I mean, yes, that was the question. We did our best to showcase these masters with scientists coming along during the filming and making sure there wasn't, any just like sort of magic happening, that it wasn't a sham. And what we found was just absolutely incredible. And let's just say this, that our human potential is vast. And we've showcased it with our athletes and our performers. And you watch basketball players, football players, soccer players, you're just like, wow, how do they do what they do? Dancers, artists, they're just amazing. Well, these are the masters of energy work. These are the masters of working with their consciousness through meditation. And they have developed a skill, that remember that word gong, a skill that's beyond what we can fathom. But they've trained like an Olympic athlete, 4 or 5 hours a day for many, many years. And they've developed a skill set that seems just utterly impossible to normal people. And, they do it. And our human potential, I think, is vast. And we just don't know what this mind-body system is capable of. And it's fascinating.
Yeah. It is fascinating. It's so exciting. It reinvigorated my love for the magic and the wonder that's out there when I saw that clip. And so I've been fascinated ever since. Like, what is going on? So, thank you for your insight. And I'm going to check that documentary. I'm going to link it down below. I want to be respectful of your time. So where can people find you if they want to learn more about you and what you do?
Oh, thanks, Mike. Yeah, HoldenQigong.com. So at HoldenQigong.com, this is a site where I go through lots of different condition specifics, whether it's high blood pressure, digestive issues, back pain, anything. I created Qigong routines or workshops for those different topics. And then I also go from a subscription class. Like, you can come take class with me 3 times a week. It's a subscription. The classes are either live or on demand. So if you miss a class, it's on demand always on the website. And all the way from that to a teacher training. So I have a Qigong teacher training online. It's a 16-week course with, you know, private Zoom calls and Facebook groups, so it can really dial in your practice and let people learn how to become Qigong teachers. Incredible. That's kind of my mission. I want more people bringing positive, healing, loving energy out into the world. And I've been doing that for like 35 years and just love it. So HoldenQigong.com or SuperhumanExperience.io.
Perfect. I will link both of those in the show notes. It's been an absolute pleasure. Any final words, Lee?
Mike, it's been an absolute pleasure as well. I love breath work and the new study and the new research. The more people breathing well, the happier this world is going to be. And, you know, everybody, get your qi on. Get your qigong going and stay in the flow.
Beautiful. Lee, thank you. And everyone, thank you for watching. Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey, thank you so much for sticking all the way through till the end. I told you it was going to be a good podcast. I hope you took some notes or you've took some bits to remember. And maybe like me now, you're considering taking a Qigong training. So I'm going to link to Lee's stuff down below if you want to go and contact Lee's team and work with him. And just a quick mention from me. So we have the Take a Deeper Breath community. So it's 30% off right now. It won't stay this way. Even at $99 a month, it's an absolute steal. There's 4 live breathing classes a month with me on Zoom. Each month, we bring in a guest expert. We've actually got 2 this month that we can do a live Q&A with. We are also doing hangouts. There's courses in there. My $500 breathwork course, which is on sale right now, which we've sold many, many times. You get that straight away as soon as you join, and you can cancel anytime. So the link is down below. I would love for you to come in, post in the comments. You get time with me. You get time with many other breathwork instructors. It's a really cool place to hang out. There's no social media. There's no ads. It's just a clean platform called School. Get it on your phone. You can get it on your PC as well. Breathing exercises are in there. Everything that you want. Plus, there's a suggestions box. If something's missing, you can let me know. We'll build from there. You can ask me questions. I can give you some coaching tips. So what are you waiting for? I would click that link below. Go and have a look. Come and join us. $68 for a month. It's like $12 a class for the 4 classes. Plus, you get the $500 breathwork course. Come and get your breath measurements done. And yeah, I hope to see you in there. Thank you so much for watching the podcast. Thank you for sticking all the way through till the end. Of course, we have a breathing technique for you now. So let's jump on with a new, nice, simple breathing exercise. There we go. Cheers. Hello, my friends, and welcome to Take a Deep Breath. My name is Mike. I'll be your breathwork coach. And today's breathing exercise is called the psychological sigh, made popular by neuroscientist Dr. Andrew Huberman. Now, rather than going into all the science now, I'm going to put a link to his podcast where he talks about this and so much more with breathing. But for now, I want to just get stuck straight into the exercise. This exercise is fantastic for helping downregulate our nervous system, which basically, fancy terms, means calm us down and let us have lower feelings of stress. Now, who doesn't want that? So let's get stuck straight in. Really, really simple. We're going to breathe in through the nose, and we're going to breathe in 60-70%. And then we're going to do a second inhale, and that's like a sip more of air, and that's going to help open up our lungs. And then we're going to breathe out really nicely and slowly through the mouth, triggering a rest and digest parasympathetic relaxation response. And I'm going to take you through about 10 rounds of this. Now, normally after 2 or 3, you start to feel the effects quite quickly, but you can do all 10 because why not? It helps us relax. So get comfortable, sit up nice and straight, nice and tall, keep that diaphragm as open as possible. Good posture. And I'll just guide you through the first one so you can see, and then we'll do them together. So we're going to go in through the nose, and then second time, and then out through the mouth. and you can find your own pace and just use me as a guide. And already I feel calmer from that first one, but let's do 10 together now, okay? Hopefully starting to feel a bit calmer. Let's continue. Relaxing the neck, relaxing the jaw, relaxing the face muscles, the eye muscles. Let's do 3 more together. Inhale double through the nose and out through the mouth. We'll do a final one together. Really smile your way through this, and as the exhale comes, focus on bringing total relaxation to your body. I already feel so much more relaxed than at the start of this video. I hope you do too. So our final one together, in through the nose and a sip more, and hold a little and out through the mouth. Total relaxation, total peace. And play with that breath. You know, I've interpreted that from Dr. Andrew Huberman. Play with it however you want. I really like to emphasize the because for me that brings even more relaxation. Something about stimulating the vagus nerve through the kind of vocal cords. And it's something that's really powerful just to help downregulate us. Let us feel a bit calmer, a bit more relaxed. And I think we could all do with that today. So your gift, your free exercise, check out Dr. Huberman's full breathing podcast. Oh, it's such a good podcast in general. Neuroscience. He goes into all sorts of things. He's got a particularly great one with Jack Feldman, which he's been studying breath for, I think, 30 years. So thank you for watching Take a Deep Breath. If you're interested in working with me one-on-one, or you'd like to take on my breathing course, which has got a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk, check out those links below. And if you'd like to do another breathing exercise, check out this. And maybe you'd be interested in learning a bit more about breathing. There's a fantastic breathing podcast here. All right, I'll see you on the next video. Take care, and remember to breathe. Cheers.